I am Lewis, and I heard that there are some deep concerns about the podcast, so we'll be addressing concerns.
I am not deeply concerned. I am, however, deeply concerned about the absolute state of the game. You know what I'm actually concerned about is ethics in gaming journalism.
Yes. You know, yeah. Or it's broke ethics in gaming journalism, woke ethics in like games development.
Yeah. So, well, this is people are talking about the new Gamergate, and yeah. I think there's, I don't know. It was funny. Like the tedious guys were talking about Gamergate like recently. I forget how it came about. It don't matter. But it's not that exactly that I disagree with Jesse's take that I don't know. Maybe I do disagree. I'm not sure because as I understood it, the tedious guy, the Mike and Jesse's take was essentially that Gamergate failed and lost and was ineffectual and all this kind of stuff, which in terms of achieving their stated objectives directly is true. I would submit though that the radicalization that engendered. I mean, there's a very famous meme of Pepe the Frog in an SS. Real quick.
Okay, go ahead. I think we've been undergoing though, right?
But just say like all I wanted. He's Pepe the Frog in an SS uniform is hanging a tranny at a makeshift execution site. After court proceedings and due process and all that kind of stuff. The caption. I just wanted to play video games, and many such cases, including myself. So I don't want to shit too hard on Gamergate, but.
I think Gamergate steals some valor from just, like, what's always been the undercurrent of unmoderated spaces.
Sure. Gaming is, like, the kind of ur...
Yeah.
Yeah, example of that.
Gaming is just a popular thing, and therefore it's full of Nazis and unmoderated... Gaming is just it's a perfect sort of unmoderated spaces and being popular.
We could postulate Nigger's Law, we didn't really invent it, but let's maybe formalize it as any unmoderated space will eventually turn anti-Semitic.
Yes, just like any non-right-wing bureaucracy will immediately, bureaucracy or institution will immediately turn left-wing. Yeah. Eventually. Yeah. Absolutely. I just think, like, in terms of accomplishments, it's very Trump-esque, like a lot of big promises.
Sure, yeah.
Also, the thing with Gamergate, the problem was that Gamergate, which what contrasts to the Gamergate current thing, is that, how do we say this? The gaming industry is, like, in a bad place right now.
We haven't really talked about it.
Gamergate happened at, like, probably the end of the...
Golden era.
07 to 2013 is probably about as good as it gets.
I'm not from like ColecoVision days, but I grew up with a Nintendo and a Super Nintendo, and obviously these are extremely, those are great games. But yes, the combination of technological advancement and cultural, availability and receptiveness to just be
programmer
able to,
skill.
All this kind of stuff, absolutely.
Programmer skill, absolutely, has peaked. The average programmer, like the skill of the average developer was, I think, higher then.
And
I
absolutely. Think it's, no, I mean, can, and,
absolutely.
And,
there's all kind of indicators for that.
Yeah, absolutely. So Gamergate definitely came at the kind of tail end of that as it was starting to be in reaction to the fact that it was starting to be colonized by the Semitic mind virus.
Yeah, and like corporate bullshit. It was also like corporate, like it's DLC, like things that weren't Amergate, weren't Gamergate, like DLC.
I know the Mountain Dew Doritos thing was like in the 90s, you know, and in the early 2000s you had like
Mass Effect 3 was, I think, when it was decided that DLC was just going to be like people were just going to have to deal with it. People,
yes,
until Mass Effect very, 3, people very like, much so. Had a vicious yes. hatred of it. After yes. Mass Effect 3, which is it's like a story based game that locked like a very key character behind you, giving them like $8 in a really mm-hmm. really gross way, like
yep.
like a major part of the story, like
oh
like,
yeah,
let me put it this way, I mean, like imagine yeah. like a story about the Bible, right? And like, all right, well, we're locking Prophet Elijah, not a minor prophet, but you know, he's not. You don't really need him for the whole Jesus narrative. It's like, well, what the fuck? Like, he's part of, you know, like,
yeah,
like a seriously, like, you know, a lot of reveals in that, like, a lot of content there, like, whole, you know, mm-hmm. anyway. And but like that was never resolved. It was just like, oh, you will just seethe, you know.
Well, that and was like, also in part. I want to say, I mean, that's definitely true they leveraged that the smash hit status of Mass Effect. And especially Mass Effect 2 to kind of not exactly force people, but close enough to it to purchase DLC. However, that was also the kind of the beginning, like broadband was pretty widespread, but that was the earliest point, I think, where you could really lean on essentially internet delivery of DLC in a way that, like, you know, because people used to complain, myself included, and it's true, like, expansion packs used to be come in a CD, same as the main game, and they'd have nearly as much content, if not sometimes more. It's just they didn't have to develop a you know, the pre CD era. It's what would have been a sequel. It's on the same engine and everything. It's just
also, I think it's just openly like I think with the DLC thing, it was that they were openly like developing parts of the game, the whole game, and then just slicing off
and then
parts.
Cutting them exactly. Which that was, I think,
they were not expansions.
Yes.
They
that
were,
was like, new because, like, you know, Steam launched with Half-Life 2, and but it was impossible. It was on the first day, literally impossible to download Half-Life 2, and at least at first, most Half-Life 2 sales were of physical CDs. Yeah. That
well,
balance
I think
started
people
shifting.
Were always, yeah. People were always cool with like. The extra map pack on Halo or Call of Duty, like people were cool with paying for extra content, which yeah. was.
And then there was the horse, like, and then there was horse armor, and then there was what was the Prothean? He was the Prothean shipmate, but I forget it.
Yeah,
he was Jamaican
Javik.
Prothean, Javik, yeah.
Javik,
whatever, Jamaican yeah. guy.
And that yeah. was, I think, that was the when like, the companies won with Javik. It was like, it's yes. over. Like, yeah. He was actually on the physical disc. That was the best part.
Yes, yeah, that's right. That's right. The data for the character was on the, like, non-collector's edition, because the collector's edition came with him, but the regular non-deluxe whatever, like, you know, the DVD that the game shipped on has the data for the character, but you can't access it unless you pay BioWare.
Yeah. So it was... But like, there was that. So there was that undercurrent, and also the games were just like the industry was in a wonderful place. They're making money hand over. Like, they were already kicking ass, and then they like discovered this way they could soak you for more money.
Well, that was also the kind of beginning point of the
just
like
to contrast.
I don't think Call of Duty was a yearly franchise as of 2010. Right? It was still a couple years between
the big
releases.
Yearly franchise back then was Assassin's Creed.
Assassin's Creed, and it still wasn't year quite.
It was Assassin's Creed was yearly. I believe they
at that time, maybe, I don't know.
Or every other year. It was really.
It was like every 2 years, but not every. Even Assassin's Creed, yeah. That was when it started being every year. Was around that time.
But anyway,
yeah.
To contrast, games are not in a good place right now. Yeah,
well, we haven't talked about it on this show that is, I guess, you know, I don't know, National Institute for Geopolitics Review, so I don't know, we make these jokes, but
yeah.
It's kind of true. But yeah, we haven't talked about it at all, but there have been huge layoffs across the industry. Like, I mean, you know, 30% of some countries, EA, which is an enormous, you know, the single biggest conglomerate has been for decades, laid off 5%. What is it? Bungie missed their revenue targets. They were acquired by Sony because Destiny was losing money. They don't have anything else. They sold off Halo to Microsoft. Bungie's basically missed their profit forecast by 50%. So if the new Destiny expansion doesn't do well, you know,
who's never talked to me about Destiny in real life?
Anyone?
anyone. Yeah. No one has ever talked to me about the video.
I've gotten more interactions. I've gotten more like sort of backhanded defenses of Anthem, the failed BioWare, you know, live service.
I told you I played like the first like 3 hours of that game. It's really bad, by the way.
I haven't ever played it. The soundtrack was recommended to me by an old fan of one of our shows, and it is actually quite a good soundtrack. If you enjoy, you know, that kind of music. But I've never played it. Listen, no.
It's BioWare, right? BioWare music's always been good.
Yeah, right? Yeah, it's pretty good. Yeah. Right. Generally.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. Mass Effect 2 soundtrack is like straight bangers.
Fucking rad. Yeah. So.
Yeah. But yeah, no Anthem. Oh god, what a shit show.
Right. And they, which by the way, the new, like the BioWare hasn't put out anything in what, like 4 years and counting now. And obviously the next Dragon Age is also going to suck. So like, I don't, you know, like, I don't, yeah, they're not, you know, we talk about Bungie. We could talk about BioWare. Oh,
I think it's been quasi confirmed that Mass Effect is a Mass Effect product is in the pipeline.
Yeah, they say that, but they've had, they've confirmed that the next Dragon Age is in the pipeline for literally like, I think 6 years, longer than that. You know, I mean, it's.
But yeah, like only a Mass Effect can save that company, which is,
well, Andromeda failed. You know what I mean? They tried, yeah. And that didn't work. You know, yes, that's true. I would add the also, qualifier.
To put out the context of how hot the gaming industry was back then and competitive, Andromeda wasn't bad. It's just like it was, yeah. Like compared to games today, it would have. It's better. It's a good. Not maybe not great, but like
it was a replacement level game. Like, you know, like football, yeah. You know, like the
but
sports.
But back then, players, like the industry, yeah. People expected like, hey, you're gonna hit it out of the park, right? And no, it's like it's mid. Before mid was a word, you know, it was mid, and it just destroyed the franchise.
The people
for like
who
a decade.
Were into it said that it was the best combat of the series, which I have no trouble believing. From the
it was it felt to me like just like 3. It didn't feel much different than 3.
It's got jetpacks and shit, right? I mean, it seemed like there was a little more to it.
Maybe I didn't get far enough into it. It also like was the most It was the least stable of them. Like I had legitimate like shit the bed crashed issues like a good bit.
Oh wow!
That like ruined things. Yeah. Programmer skill has.
I was
going to
say speaking of programmer skill, exactly.
But anyway, so in the current so also layoffs in the video game industry are. Just part of the industry to a degree. Like generally the cycle is you develop a game, you have basically the thing is you have your core guys who are game like your true devs, and then you would to make these big AAA products, you like tool up, right? And you're always and you expand your staff, and then you work them to death, and then you fire them. Everybody gets paid well enough to work to death, right? It's fine,
right.
And then these huge studios, your Ubisofts, your EAs, they could afford to never have to lay anybody off because they would just push these guys into next project. They would have so many like
so many irons in the fire. Or they, well, I mean, those at that scale too, they have multiple studios.
And yes,
so they would just different studios would develop different pieces of the game, right?
Yeah, famously, Assassin's Creed is made by like 12 studios.
Yeah.
I think the thing that's kind of unspoken, but it seems like it's happening is this is not your normal cuts. This is like four teams being hit in a big way.
So studios closing too. I forget the
studios closing.
Part of the thing too, which we haven't really talked so much about, and I think part of it, the reason we haven't talked so much about it is because there just isn't a lot of detail, which itself is interesting. But I don't know if you heard about this. One of the things going on is there was the Embracer Group, just some like hedge fund type thing or something, was supposed to make like a $2 billion. Investment in different studios, different. It would have expanded its. There was some big deal that had been in the works and seemed like it was about to be signed, and then fell through at the last minute, and then now all of these layoffs are happening, which is seems.
Also,
to be,
I will point out before Embracer, the industry has been fucked for a while. And was coasting on the Chinese. It was Tencent.
Tencent, that's right. Yes, Tencent.
Tencent, basically any company would be like, oh, fuck, no one's buying our shit. Tencent would come in and, like, BlackRock them a little bit. Like, they just buy, like, 10% of the company for maybe more than it's worth. Enough to, like, basically bail you out.
Tencent, we buy Tencent. Tencent?
Yeah.
Okay, Tencent.
Yeah. And a lot of companies just, like, said, okay, it's better than, you know, fucking folding or... I believe there's probably some pride. Like, well, we can't sell to Microsoft. We can't sell to one of the big ones. But, like, so Tencent just acquired huge chunks of the industry. The problem is Tencent, like, also wants to make money off of this whole operation. You know, they're not like, it's not like Jews buying a movie studio.
Well, their
it's
Chinese like, products are making money. Their gacha games are making money, right? Like,
yeah, in China, right?
Right, like, right, right, right.
And they and Tencent's looking at like the American thing. I'm sure they're like, well, with our 15 votes, we say you fire everyone. You know, like, and, you know,
right? Yeah, yeah.
And
no,
I think the industry has been in a generally bad place for a lot of reasons.
But
and all the reasons are known. Like we've done this show for a while. We've talked about the issues.
Yes.
And I have gotten into like the scene of people who are just like Nazis who know what's wrong with video games. or just I've always been kind of in that scene.
I was gonna say everyone's sort of definitionally, but yeah, sorry, yeah. Go on.
But like you're doing like the scene. Like I talk to guys who also you know. So here's the biggest thing. Everyone I know knew about this company, which has created this called Sweet Baby. Sweet Baby is a consulting firm that you invite to consult on your game, and they just like add brown faggots and women and like make your dialogue less problematic. It's like they make your game shitty, right? You pay them a fee, and they enter your writer's room and just like make shit worse. And I've known about them for a while. Synthetic Man, who I think is probably the most like popular. He's like 100% our guy, just like with some very. He's like not you know affiliated with any kind of group or anything. Just whatever, he's just who he is. He's talked about them a good bit, just casually. He's like, "This is why every game sucks. It's these guys." Once again, I think because like this has gone to the normies or the rightoids at the very least, or the normie who like hates this becomes a rightoid as soon as he's it fixated on this one company called Sweet Baby Inc. But there are like four companies or five or six that do. All have this same
business
scam going basically, where they're so
it's a protection
and I wanna,
racket. I mean, we can get into it, but yeah.
But I want to reiterate, it's not actually a protection racket because they. So, if this was like so, the scam they present right is that, you know, if you don't hire us, like the woke mobs will destroy your game. But no one actually gives a fuck what the woke mobs think. It's like, basically, use us as a threat to have your employer funnel to like the cause of black women. Like it's like the pitch they do is they go to like true believer libtards and women in these companies, and like basically you say, hey, help us shake down your boss to give us money.
Yeah, I don't unfortunately have a way of injecting audio into the stream. I'll try to stitch it in so people can hear. There's like a great 19-second clip of the. I actually asked if it was a tranny, and I've been informed by you that it's not a tranny. I'm gonna have to just like.
It's a just a black woman.
Are
it's
you
just
sure?
A black woman. It's just a. That's what they look like.
All right, fine, whatever.
Low sexual dimorphism.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, so I guess I'll get the audio. You'll have to seek the video out yourself. But an extremely ugly mulatto woman, basically, yeah, saying, like, here, you know, here's how to intimidate your employer into giving us money.
Yeah. It's like saying if the higher-ups refuse, go to market. She says, like, go to the marketing people who are, like, once again, probably more women and, you know, bullshit. And, you know, help us, like, basically get us in on the grift. Right, and unfortunately, I think Sweet Baby may have fucked up because they employ a lot of whites other than this black woman, and they're like, so they like actually did the job, like they actually have entered a few games and like fucked them up, and like the, like if you're gonna run that scam, which I don't even mind to some degree, like yeah, that's a scam you run, it's America, everybody's running a fucking scam. You need to like actually just give them the fig leaf. Oh, this is a give them the woke checkmark approval. And then don't actually like, fuck up their shit. But Sweet Baby was actually like, fucking up their games. And like claiming credit for it. And getting their logo in the like title credits of games. Like when you boot up whatever, you would see like a Sweet Baby.
Yeah, this is like, I guess it's a mulatto, but it's kind of the same phenomenon as regression to the Heeb. Like that obviously is going to fuck up your grift. Like don't advertise yourself like that. No, like keep yourself off the front page.
Yeah. And I have noticed that the other, so, there are other companies that do this that don't. They're not as fucking retarded as Sweet Baby. One has to be run by Jews because it's like Stillwater Inc. It's got a very innocuous name, but some of them have like really you know, I'm trying to, there's a good, yes, okay. So one is literally called Gay, like G-A-Y, Mer X.
I've seen yes. them on
they
on
work
Twitter.
With like, no, they work with Dead by Dead by Daylight.
Sorry, X currently they, known as Twitter, yes.
Yeah, they work with Volition, Niantic, however.
Volition, that's another, that was actually before this most recent, which, by the way, Volition to me is and will always be Free Space. Like, I don't, the Saints Row shit, I don't give a fuck. But
Silver String Media, they're doing the right bit, right? You can't see what games they work with at all on their, I don't think. They just, like, do press kits.
But Volition's closed now, too. They closed, like, a year ago, I believe.
Well, but not. Well, but they had. But how they had Gamer X?
yes, doesn't that make more sales? They're gonna get more sales. Yeah. The
Project Liftoff, or Rocket Ride Games, by Rocket Ride Games. Also, Rocket Ride doesn't actually make games. They consulting minority bullshit. What's the other one? Then when they
hire them, they get to get some kind of federal credit because we hired a minority owned business or some shit, right?
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep. Black Girl Gamers is some other fucking thing. There are all these groups, but they're fucking just retarded, you know. Sweet Baby's retarded because they're getting their shit out there.
Yeah, they're making it about themselves instead of just quietly funneling money, you know, into their pockets.
So that's like the story.
Well, that's the story as it is now. I guess it's kind of it is making the rounds on Twitter, and I don't know how much staying power it's necessarily going to have. But
so Sweet Baby has privated their Twitter accounts. The thing fuck up was somebody made a curated list. That's what I wanted
to get into. Right. This is the part of it that I think is like interesting. Yeah.
The story is that some Steam user, and Steam users can make any list
Excuse
of games.
Me, some like, Chad.
Yeah, best shooters is like in theory how you use it. Or best sport games.
There's only one best shooter, and it's the one. It was the Al-Aqsa defense.
Oh Jesus! Oh God! Yeah. So anyway, they took these curated lists of, you know, and of course you can use them for like best BioWare games or best whatever. Like you can. There's no moderation of this bullshit, right? So. This guy made a list of every game that Sweet Baby is involved in, and he said, "Hey, like, because he's like he's if he knew who these people were prior to this, like I did, these are guys. He's tuned in to a significant degree, and it's every game that Sweet Baby has claimed or has claimed Sweet Baby as like their worked with, and some like one of these you know women who works for this company." Well, didn't say she worked for the company on her Twitter, did like a rant about how this... they may have doxed the guy or just harassed him because he promoted on Twitter. He had like some social media link to his Steam. And they were saying, oh, this should be banned. This is disgusting. And people were like, wait.
Why? Why? Yeah,
isn't the company doing a good thing? Like, yeah, right. She was like, oh, shit. Like, it was like, oh, I actually named myself, right?
Right, yeah.
And... massive Streisand effect, basically, like the classic Streisand effect.
Which I want to say as a side note, I was thinking about this actually this morning. I was like, you know, I can form a vivid picture in my mind of the real estate photograph, you know, the oceanfront or property that was involved in like making the phrase Streisand effect. It was like her house or something. I do not know what Barbara Streisand looks like. I could not recognize a picture of Barbara Streisand.
Oh, I don't know either. It's just a.
No, I was just reflecting on how kind of funny that is, right? Like, I know Mecha Streisand. I know what Mecha Streisand looks from South Park. I do not know what Barbara Streisand, the human being, looks like. And I know, but I do know what the property looks like. That was like, you know, she got mad about that. There was this photograph published or whatever, giving rise to the eponymous.
I think it was even dumber. It was she bought the. I remember an article on it. I still don't know what the house or her. She was like the story that she. Contacted the tabloids and like offered them like money to not publish pictures of her house.
That's right.
And they were like, "Huh? You know, I wasn't planning on it, but you know, like,
yeah." So anyway, yeah, so she Streisand affected herself, her company into people being like, wait, what the fuck is your business model?
Yes. and then, of course, and they don't hide this stuff because they're the retarded ones. So there's all these like clips of them like doing the conferences. And, like, that's all like your E3s and your PAX, all your cool like gamer cons or like dev cons. It's all this now. It's like faggots and women talking about how important faggots and women and niggers are. Like, they instead of giving a conference on like, hey, John Carmack, how did you do XYZ thing with the mathematics? Not that it really was ever that, but that's kind of like the ideal, is like talking to cool developers who did innovations. They would be like, how do you equalize the queerness of space robots? And it's like just, there's all these like conferences are just gay shit. And because of COVID, a lot of that gay shit was like put online that wasn't normally put online. So there's just like hours of this, of these retards basically like admitting it's a hustle, like, oh, you know, and like basically saying like we have creative control effectively, or we will like snitch that they're racist. And this dumb woman, her problem was she would just deny it. She's like, some of these games we don't even work with, like they would name like failed, hated game. And like she said, oh, we didn't even work on that game, this list is it's bad, and it's saying it's our fault. And people would just like go to that game's like page or Sweet Baby's like media page and say like, oh, we worked on whatever the fuck. And it was just, so she was just being owned on Twitter very hard for whatever the category that is. But the Steam curated list thing went from like 8,000 followers to like 450,000 followers, which is insane for a Steam, like, you know, best shooters list, you know. So that's cool or whatever. I think we were already seeing these cuts of some of this, like these bullshit consultings, just because the money got tight. I'm sure that will just continue apace. I don't think this is actually going to be like Gamergate 2, because famously, I think the games media, your IGNs, your Rock Paper Shotguns, your PC gamers, they're much less powerful than they were. Mm-hmm. But also, they're not going to, like, Streisand affect it further. Like, Gamergate was, like, you would see an article on Destructoid, like, trans women are women, and yeah. And you're all bigots, right? Like, they're not retarded more. There are Twitter trannies doing that shit. And the other wrinkle is, like, streamers just, like, are going to be more right. Are the streamers that have kind of taken over that space a lot are just being, like, anti-Sweet Baby, because, like, they just see it as, like, cringe. Because it is, like, the model is cringe, right? It's like, hey, like, it's like the cringe mafia, right? Like, if you don't add cringe to your game, you know, we're gonna sick the Twitter mobs on you. Also, the Twitter mobs don't actually exist, so, like, it's like, that's, like, the Twitter, like, you're basically trying to convince the executives that Twitter mobs exist and will stop you.
Right. And, or they're gonna have any effect on sales, right?
Yeah, if not, like, a bump. Like, honestly, like they, people don't buy,
how
people
many
who
more
are
copies did Helldivers don't. How many more copies has Helldivers sold because people were like, there was this complaining about the Starship Trooper ironic fascism bit, and people were like, wait, I want to be a space fascist. That sounds really cool.
Yeah, it's based, right?
Not even people being putting it necessarily, like, okay, maybe not even like, you know, verbalizing it internally in that kind of a way. Even just like becoming aware of this. I mean, I could speak for myself. I wasn't aware that Helldivers 2 had been released until the Starship Troopers.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Thing, you know, and it was
it's indie. Yeah, it's like a PlayStation exclusive indie game, or formerly, I guess, it's PC now. But
yeah. No, it was a simultaneous launch, but the original was anyway. There's a whole thing there with it's owned or partially owned and published by Sony, and yes, it is like formally and officially a PlayStation game, you know, trademark TM upper right corner of the thing. Yeah,
yeah.
So neither IGN nor PC Gamer is returning any results with the phrase "Sweet Baby." Currently,
yep,
they have not. It's just not a topic.
Yeah, because they've learned, I think. Yeah. But like Asmogold, who's like the most normiest of the normie streamers, like normie video game streamers, mm-hmm. He's like, imagine, oh, what's his name? Fucking Hassan. If you're a politics guy, imagine Hassan, but he's white and he just doesn't have politics. It's just like video games and like funny videos. It's It's like very trite. But it's more popular than Hassan. He's like, whatever. He has like doing like, oh, look at this cringe company. Got caught doing the cringe stuff. Blah, 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 blah. Lol, lmao.
I'll you know, take not it. Being I racist. Mean, you know, yeah. Like, yeah. Whatever.
And, you know, this company's done, I think. Or they'll be like Extinction Burst, right? Where they'll be like loudly hired by a couple companies and then like...
You know, I don't even think they matter. Yeah, maybe, but I don't... think they matter enough for that even.
Oh no, like a black woman runs the company, which is the other thing that's an issue. Like if a Jew ran the company, they might have a shot.
Yeah.
I don't know what her mixture is. If she's a Jew lotto, maybe they get an extinction burst. True.
That could also account for the like tranny thing where I just literally cannot tell.
Yeah.
In part. Yeah. Because she's fairly light-skinned.
Yeah, so she's she's like black quote unquote woman, you know.
Yeah.
The quote unquote black quote unquote woman, I guess. No, actually she's I guess. But
yeah, whatever, she's a bio woman. Yeah, that's fine. Whatever.
It doesn't matter. And her employ, I think she employed too many whites, who were and Asians who were like serious
about
ruining shit. Yeah. Also, I think her being a mulatto hurt. If she was just a cold black nigger, she like would be just like getting a check, you know?
Right. Yeah.
Like some of the companies
yeah.
I mentioned are just like check get like.
Yeah. Well, they would also just like probably they wouldn't have fucked up the games as bad because.
Well, they know they would have been just
quietly
those guys are like
their work product. You
there's
know?
One run by a black man. I think it's called Project Liftoff or Starship Games or whatever. I think he's just getting free copies of games from the developers and like giving them his stamp of being like, brother, I agree. Yeah. Thanks for, you know.
Yeah.
Oh, an Anthem Collector's Edition you shouldn't have, you know. Like, that's, you know, it's he's just.
Which is a smarter
like,
way
you
to
pay
do
him
it.
To just,
yeah.
Yeah, just have him Uncle Ruckus your game. Right?
Get your like, get your federal tax black. Credits for contracting with a minority owned business, and then just ignore their input into your work process. If they even like have any input in, you know, and you can make any contribution, right? So, yeah, I don't know. I certainly agree that it's not going to have. I mean, in a sense, the cultural impact has already played out to the extent this is just kind of in some ways a further ramification rather than a new. Precipitating event. The part of it that's most interesting to me is Valve refusing to get involved. There was a time, I don't know about Valve specifically, but I think the norm over the past several years has been for a company in the position of Valve where they're quote unquote hosting content with that is intended to serve as a basis for the harassment of minorities of various types, etc., that a company would have bowed immediately to external pressure to stop hosting that kind of content, right? This had never really come up in this kind of a way, to my knowledge, for Valve specifically before. Like, it's not... I mean, again, the Al-Aqsa Defense game is there. You can buy it on Steam. I guess they got rid of Heimat Defender, but... That was sort of a weird thing, as I recall. I don't remember. I don't know all the details with that, but as a general matter, Valve is.
I think it was released by a German company, then banned by Germany.
By Germany,
which may have been enough.
I think you're probably right. I don't think it was Valve being like, we don't like the ideological content of this, therefore it can't. We won't.
It
host
might
it.
Have been.
It could have been, but even so, it would have been a kind of one off. Because
there is an interesting thing with Valve is that they are like very soy, obviously internally, and they do like some women in tech bullshit. But they are a privately held company. They're not publicly traded.
That's right.
So they can kind of be just like, eh. You know, like, do like the DEI. Like, we actually don't need like a DEI score, actually. You know, like they don't, they're not traded by, like, BlackRock has no influence and stuff. You know, like, they don't actually have like financial pressure. They do it because they're libtards. They don't do it because they're like, you know.
They do it for free. Like,
they don't have that Jewish gun to their head, you know.
Yes.
That's right. Is like your company won't be able to, your company won't be able to secure credit if
they
you don't
have
like,
the 50, you know,
give
the,
this nigger
those seats
you know,
on the
money.
Board that can vote to do the thing. They just there's nobody who has the Jews don't have those seats. So yeah, and
they'll get in there somehow. I'm sure, but
well, they I mean the fact I mean it's not like Valve can go up against Jewish power by itself. You know, Gabe Newell. As funny as it would be to see Gabe Newell like go up against global Jewry by himself, you know. I don't think that's really going to happen or would end well for poor Gabe. Gaben. But yeah, the thing is, I don't think there's like the way this story would have played out at pretty much any point in the past 6 years, or 7 or 8 even, is that Valve would have immediately, you know, at a minimum, deleted the list and or removed all subscriber, blah, blah, blah. That hasn't happened. That isn't going to happen. And not only is it not going to happen, the people who tried to make it happen are, you know, privated their Twitter in disgrace. So I wouldn't exactly call that, you know, that's not like a win for white people or something, but it is funny. And I don't know, in some ways it's a positive indicator for gamer culture as a whole. And as we all know, gamers are the most oppressed race. And so anything that, you know, helps us in our struggle for liberation against the Jewish menace is good.
Yeah, no, for sure. Do you want to transition, as it were? While we're talking about that.
What kind of, I was like, ho, ho, ho. Yes, I believe we have some mailbag. We have some mail in the mailbag.
We have a lot of content. I'm going to summarize stuff. Our first is, I'm not going to read people, well, okay. Okay, I don't think Forrest Elephant is his real name, so I think I could say Forrest Elephant sent us an email after the Yemen episode mentioning, clearly mentioned Tibetans. He was saying, hey, can you do a Tibet episode? It's kind of analogous, right, to the, and how it, you know, what do you call it? The Free Tibet was like an off-ramp for leftists to prevent them from focusing on Palestine kind of stuff.
Yes. Well, that's like a free Tibet. So I did do an episode on
Tibet. It's just diet. Is Tibet just diet Palestine?
With the myth of the 20th century, there is a myth of the 20th century.
Yes, I mentioned that in my response. Yeah. I did send him an email saying, hey, check out his myth to the TFC episode. It's back when myth of the century was actually like really, really good. It was probably peak.
Well, back when Nick was contributing more. But sorry, go on.
Anyway, but yeah, just diet Palestine, right? Or whatever. And now it's Uyghurs, which are like diet Palestine. Because Tibet got a little, the Dalai Lama was a little too based in like 2015.
That's
so,
right.
You know,
they got
edge
of
off of that.
Yeah.
So that wasn't, you know, too much. I tried to tell it that your myth episode, that's like.
Definitely check that out. As far as, and actually, at the end of our conversation, Hans suggested doing an episode on Free Tibet. And, you know, we never got around to it. And it's definitely an interesting topic. I know less about like the Free Tibet movement than I do about, let's say, Tibetan history. Yes, the CIA, actually before it was even the CIA, the OSS, was deeply involved in the Tibetan independence movement, which persisted essentially at the sufferance of the American government, and by the end was pretty much exclusively a gay. It was basically unfortunate. You know,
Do you want to? There's another angle on that I don't know. You might not know.
Sure.
Just quick, like.
Really, just to finish the thought, and then we can continue. It was Kissinger's foreign policy and the attempted rapprochement with China, you know, the famous Nixon goes to China moment. That's what ended, as essentially a condition of that, you have to stop the gay op, the Tibet gay op. And so we did, and then, you know, it was done. Sorry, go on.
Well, hilariously, it was once again hoist by your own petard. The U.S., everyone was using, like, the Tibet, Nepal, all of the mountain kingdoms were being used as air bases to run guns into China, to Chinese guerrillas. The same Chinese guerrillas that would eventually take over those places.
Yes, right.
And
impose same networks,
like,
yes.
Yeah, like, it was a very famous, it was the most dangerous, it was, I believe, per capita, the most non-combat aircraft deaths were flying that run from North India to East China.
Yes, yes.
Because
it's
the mountains and all that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
It was a very, you know, but like, so, you know, very much hoist, like, we'd run a gay op out of there, and then, of course, we give the communists enough guns to come and take it over and lock us out forever. All right, my next was about the Navy SEALs falling off the falling off the thing. He was, he said, my mic level varied a lot. It did. I think my mic actually switched during that show to a different mic, and I didn't notice it. He also says, so this guy, why I wanted him is, he was a commercial, he worked at some kind of commercial fishing, did a lot of open ocean stuff. He was talking about, like, the transponders on, you know, equipment. And he was saying that the surface range of, so the vehicle transponders would have a mounted to the boats would be, like, have a 50 nautical mile range. And the man overboard thing is comparable, apparently, he says. So he says it is comparable that the some kind of signaling device transponder type thing on some kind of band, which I think my narrative on, I do think it was legit, but I think it was more of a man one goes, like, hits his head or something like that and goes down with all his heavy gear. Man two drops his gear to swim down to save the guy in a rough seas, and then fails to rescue, either they both drown together, or man two, who went to go save him, save the other seal, had, like, by the time he got, he figured he couldn't save the guy, goes back up for air, or into the water, and, like, in his getting rid of his heavy shit gear, all his gear and gun and helmet and, like, heavy stuff, his transponder got caught in that mess or something, or fell off in the chaos.
What about the first guy's transponder?
Well, no, he was in the bottom. He went down. I'm saying, like, his gear takes him to the bottom.
Gotcha,
he goes
to
the bottom.
Gotcha. So then
guy two is shedding his gear to go save that guy,
yeah,
which may have included his transponder, like, or something. You know, I don't know what happened. Or I don't think the Somalians killed them for Palestine, as cool as that would be. I just don't think that, like.
Oh, well, my theory was never that they died on the boat. It was, sorry, one second. I'll be right back.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah, no problem. You know, we don't have to get every, we're not going to be able to get every email.
We can do more next time.
Okay, so.
Yeah. Sorry, no, yeah. My theory was always that they died somewhere else, and this was just making up some bullshit story about, oh, they fell off a boat. I mean, not that they didn't.
Maybe, yeah. Yeah.
Whatever, it does, who knows?
Like they died in the tunnels or whatever.
Yeah.
Kind of thing. Maybe.
But you're saying it's at least somewhat plausible that just the
possible
fact that they would have had. Anyway, all right. Yeah. Yes, okay, next next item.
A gentleman sent me a chapter 7 of a African-American Iraq novel.
Oh, God.
I responded
what?
With...
What? No, you know what? I don't want to know.
With, damn, that's crazy. and... a man named Bobby called us niggers. My response was, yeah, because he's doing the bit. And then the same guy who sent us the African-American erotic fan fiction, I guess it's like fiction, I guess, unless you're a fan of, like, blacks in general, did send me a question or a statement saying, hey, you guys should talk about Tokyo Ghoul, like we did about Berserk.
Mm-hmm.
He's saying it's
on par.
Which,
by the way, I have been reading, and I'm past the Golden Age arc. Not that much. He's in the elf village with the little kids that turn into elves or something. So I'm,
which elf village? There's several elf villages.
The first one that he encounters after the golden.
Oh, that's when things like the beginning of the comfy kind of stuff.
Seems like
comfy.
We're settling into a nice groove. Yes. So we could do another Berserk episode for sure in the near future.
Yeah.
But yes,
you've gotten past the most darkity darkness of it. Well, it comes back up.
I'm sure.
You know.
Yes, but yeah.
But anyway,
I have to say the anime.
I responded.
The adaptation was great. Like, having now read the source material, it was just pretty much. It was nothing.
Well, did you watch the 2010s movies, right?
Watched the ones that had been stitched together. Yes, I think is the short answer.
Yes, the 2010s movies. Okay, so this was about Tokyo Ghoul saying he wanted to do comparable stuff. My response was, I used to be I still like Tokyo Ghoul. I used to agree that it was, like, as good as Berserk, which is this guy is claiming. I find it didn't have quite as lasting an impact on it. I remember I tried to get you to watch it when I first watched it because it has some, like, very explicit Buddhist stuff in it.
Yeah, right. Yeah, I'm sure it'll be
the
fun.
Problem is it makes it's less universal compared to Berserk because of that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and luckily you're not really into Zen and, like, Zen stuff in Japan.
That's true.
You're more of a Tibet guy.
I'm more of a Tibet guy. Exactly. So it's not, and which is also to say, like, because Zen is, and Japanese Buddhism also, you know, Jodo Shinshu, etc. These are all essentially East Asian Buddhisms that look to China versus Tibetan Buddhism.
But they come out of different schools. Yeah,
India,
different schools.
Different kind of big. There was the split happened probably 1800 years ago. You know, so
all right.
Yeah. Anyway, sorry. Go on.
Yeah. Then there is an email. Guy, he's saying we should try to talk to a guy named Slavland Chronicles. He's a guy named Rob who writes about the special military operation in Ukraine. He has a very different view. I'm sure you've heard this viewpoint where it's like a phony war between like oligarch factions.
Oh, so like Zog East and Zog West. That's I thought.
No, like individual oligarchs. Individual oligarchs. I found that theory ridiculous. Compelling in the initial. Like, if you were to try to explain just 2014.
Oh yeah, sure. That I could. That I could see. Arguably, 2004 with the Orange Revolution. You know, the first color revolution was the Orange Revolution.
But this expanding into like a death battle
with like nuclear weapons. You know, being sort of flashing here and there.
I think it's escalated beyond that. That lens had more juice earlier.
Well, there were direct. There were like the Yanukovych in 2004. I was going to say, like the political figures themselves were closely tied with individual oligarchs. Yeah. In like 2004,
and so we're like so we're battalions in both conflict in both armies. Yeah. All right. Then a guy named Strong Bear says the Russians switched from gas to diesel in their tanks because diesel number 2 in the winter will clog up. It's diesel 1 and 2. He said it wasn't gasoline or something. I don't know. He also corrected me on the tanks, but he wasn't quite sure either. So T-64s and A-2 use different fuel. We're still not sure which is which. Then Proton Mail said I could get more free storage. we were asked. He talked about how influential Star Trooper was on him as well, and he also mentioned a book called Beyond This Horizon by Heinlein, which is a book about like eugenics and dueling. It's very libertarian.
Sounds cool.
For Heinlein.
Okay. Yeah.
Heinlein doesn't all suck. But it's not as high water mark as Starship Troopers, unfortunately.
Mm-hmm.
And then he has a book called Jerry Was a Man about like literal apes winning civil rights. But it's a Lintard book, he says. He asked us he just said like he agreed with us and TRS broadly about Aaron Bushnell, which of course we're right, so that makes sense. Smart guy. I was asked if someone should join the National Guard because their career they want. Gels with it. I said, don't take an internship in the summer in your field. That will actually get you, which is correct. Get work experience in your field as an internship. Don't actually don't join the army. You will be behind your peers. And then the Golden Age of American Jews article was sent to us, and my response was, Mike's got this.
I don't think we need to add to their commentary.
Yeah. I think they've got it.
Yeah. Yeah, we do geopolitics and video games here, you know.
That's most of the mailbag. I got pure hate mail. How dare you do this op? I never sending you a penny. My response was, this is literally a free show.
Wait, what?
Yeah.
What op?
I think he was referring to like the broader the right stuff.
Oh, okay. We got an A-log. All right.
But he just wanted to, you know, he didn't want to pay for it. He didn't want to pay for an account, but also wanted to send hate mail, and we've emailed it. So I guess I do encourage that. I have mentioned that I do feed on like negative feedback.
That's how you know you've made it, is when you get hate mail from retards.
Yes. Also, we got we did get one guy needed help with vetting. I will send him another email. The person that would vet him sent me a message saying that he did email that guy. If that's not true, or maybe I sent the wrong email, but. We've got one guy in contact with our thing for our big grift, or whatever it is we're doing here.
Yeah. It's a movement.
Yeah, well, it was or was it? Who knows? I don't know. All I know is I wish I would have started the podcast 2-3 years earlier, because then I would be able to get to fuck some of the wives that everybody else gets to fuck apparently.
When you're a podcaster,
I could have been leveraging this into I could have been leveraging it. I could have been. Yeah. Oh well, you know.
So okay, well that sounds like that's probably it for now. Thank you to all our listeners. Thank you especially to those who sent in some mail, and it's always great to.
I do read all of them.
Yeah, and I will be okay. Yeah. So also while we're doing housekeeping before closing up, I am. Going to transition, I think, just speaking of transitioning, the RSS, the primary RSS, to the Substack RSS. Substack basically lets you, as far as I can understand, I want to make sure that it all works first, but Substack apparently lets you host podcast literally for it's literally free real estate. And then there's some way to like merge the two RSSs. So this will go out over the old RSS, and I'm going to keep that up for a while, but that will be going away. I don't know, in the next couple. I want to try to make sure everything works as I said, and but we're going to I'm going to be putting the old RSS and the old Spotify thing to in kind of permanent hibernation, or maybe even deleting it and transitioning everything to Substack, and then we'll proceed from there. But I just want to give everybody a heads up. I will try to make sure to include the I don't know, because it's tough, because on Twitter it's like Twitter doesn't let you link to Substack because Elon Musk is whatever. So I don't know. I mean, it's gonna be a little tricky in that way, but regardless, one way or another, the yes, just to let everybody know, the RSS and host is going to be changing.
So we will still keep updating the old host, though, right?
Yeah, the question. Yes, is the short answer. Yes.
Yes. So if you don't need to change anything, but it would be
cool. Not yet. At some point, you will. At some point,
I know people have had issues with downloading direct
from
the old host.
Part of the there's several things. So yeah, it's
I've never had a problem with it. I think you're all just boomers.
It just takes a while to load. Apparently,
one last take. Zoomers. So people say, oh, Zoomers don't know how to work file systems, computers, whatever. As if file systems are hard, but boomers struggle with boomers and Xers will like look at a GUI and be confused too. So let's not throw stones. Like I have my Zoomer ability to figure out a GUI is it's pretty good. People have seen people make some dumb mistakes that I wouldn't make. So you know, maybe don't people in boomer houses shouldn't throw stones.
Yes, everybody has their own kind of trouble opening PDF Jack. So. With that, I think that just about wraps it up for today. And yeah, I hope everybody's doing well, taking care of yourselves. See you later. Dumb. Girls are dumb.